and on our website, saveus.org. And again, I want to urge you to become a partner with us. Get our fact sheet right there on the website. But become a partner, friends, in prayer and financially. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Watch. And again, I say, watch.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of IRN, its advertisers, or affiliates.
This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be those of Dr. Joyce Pugh. And we're going to be talking about her book, Eden, The Knowledge of Good and Evil. And I will tell you that this is a fascinating book, and so many of the things that Dr. Joy has come up with are things that that I certainly have considered, and that she has a great grasp of the spiritual battle that is taking place in the world today. So without further ado, thank you so very much for being with us this evening. Dr. Joy?
Yes, how are you doing, Dr. Stan?
I'm doing just fine, thank you. And certainly this book, how long did it take you to write it?
I actually put in about 7 years of research almost on an everyday, daily basis into the night sometimes, and typing all night and researching and that kind of thing. So a lot of research.
Well, a lot of time and a lot of research, but it's a fascinating book. And it really, as much as any book I know, really brings you the realization that we are truly involved in this spiritual battle, and there really are spiritual forces out there. Indeed, there are spiritual beings that are aligned against what's going on today. Because really, if you look at what's going on today, so much of it really doesn't make sense, because so many things happen that are just plain illogical. And only by understanding that there are spiritual forces that are energizing what's going on do things make sense. So where will we begin? Well, let's start. The book starts in Eden. So why don't we start in Eden, and you just sort of pick up the story from there.
Well, you know, when I started doing this research, Dr. Stan, it was really important to me to understand, like you're saying, how does this all tie together? And in my mind, I wanted to be able to understand really what the Bible was telling me about what happened in Eden that could have led to what I believe that we are living in as far as end times today. And so I guess the book of Genesis and the book of Revelation were two of my favorite books throughout my life. And now that I have done the research, they seem to be so parallel to each other that you cannot understand one without understanding the other.
And you really can't understand really what's going on in the world today unless you understand the Bible is our guide and our only means of understanding what's going on.
Right, and I really encourage people that they really need to read the Bible and really try to understand it, because that was, of course, the paradigm in which I decided to do my research. I know that there are a lot of things out there that people are trying to say about what's going to happen, but my research still parallels and tells you exactly as to what the Bible is telling us. I don't try to tell you anything that I feel like the Bible has not already told many, many generations about what is going to happen and what did happen in the past. So I've tried to expound upon some of those things and try to put them in perspective to be able to understand why we are having to go through these spiritual battles. And in Eden, we know that that began with Eve being tempted by Satan to partake of the forbidden fruit. And from that moment on, humanity has had to deal with sin. And sin, of course, is something that keeps us from being able to understand, like I think God created us to understand in Eden when we chose the forbidden fruit over the tree of knowledge, over the tree of life.
But of course, it was this knowledge. Man wanted to know. And of course, the serpent promised Eve that, you know, if they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then, of course, they could be as gods. And, well, that sounded pretty good. They didn't realize the problems it was going to raise.
Right, because with knowledge came death.
Go right ahead.
With knowledge kind of came death, and I think that was the thing that that Satan really did not make Eve feel like would occur, you know. And I believe that in Eve actually taking actually participating in what gave her knowledge, she actually opened the door to what I think will happen to us in end times. And I think that is the amazing thing, is how it's so tied together with knowledge.
Amen to that. And sometimes knowledge is a wonderful thing, and some knowledge can be a terrible thing, because, you know, simple faith is the most important thing. And, of course, sometimes if you try to reason everything out, well, you get into all sorts of problems.
Well, you know, I've always said that if you answer a question, then with the answer, you sometimes open a door for another question.
Right.
And I believe, really, that that's what happens. As we gain knowledge, it actually leads to more questions and more questions. And questions can be forever. I wish that I had every answer to everything that I've ever tried to find, but I do try to seek the truth in that, and hopefully through my research and people who will read my research, that they will understand every day when they encounter things on the television or news media or whatever, that they don't take it at face value, that they go out and try to really understand how does that relate to them, because your soul is a very important thing. And I think a lot of people don't realize how important our soul is and how it is a battle ongoing between Satan and God trying to get those souls.
Amen to that. And of course, then you go on from Adam and Eve into Cain, and of course Cain killed Abel, and of course Cain's descendants then were basically divorced from God, and they were the source of so much of the evil that's in the world today. But you pick the story up from there.
Well, you know, I try to show in my research that there was a lineage from Cain that was satanic, and that those particular people had the what I call hidden mysteries and hidden sciences that have actually come through the flood by what I believe was way of Ham, and that was, you know, of course, Noah's son. And from there, it actually got into the hands of the Babylonians and the Sumerians and into the Egyptians. And from that point, secret societies were formed in the Egyptian realm of temperance, and they actually took those kinds of things through what they call the Egyptian White Brotherhood of the Therapeutics, and they continued to march through history having this secret information that has come all the way through to our secret society today.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a minute. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course Dr. Joy starts out with the Garden of Eden, and then of course the first son was Cain, and the second one was Abel, and Cain killed Abel, and Cain then was the source of an evil lineage that of course survived the flood through the seed of Ham, and this then led to people who were into the mysteries. They certainly were there in the times of ancient Babylon and in Egypt, and they began creating these secret societies. They had great knowledge, and they tapped into this, into the dark knowledge, the forbidden knowledge. But this is the basis of the mystery religions, or at least as far as I'm concerned, the mystery religions, which became the basis of the secret societies, which have survived up until the present time. Would that be a fair appraisal?
Yes, it would be.
All right, you go ahead and pick up the story then.
Well, you know, I think that that's the thing that a lot of secret society members that are not up in the higher echelons are not understanding, that when they participate in secret societies, that their forefathers and the history that they're playing out behind closed doors is a very secretive, hidden mystery that came from the lineage of Cain. And I feel like that what we are going to experience in the near future is things that are being done at the higher echelons of secret societies like the Illuminati, the Bilderberger groups, and things like that, that typically are internationalist, and they are not interested in just being like certain states or certain countries. They're interested in a global, I guess, prisoning of the masses. And so with the help of, I believe, the little peons in their, you know, secret societies, they use them to raise the money and maintain the status quo by making them look, or making their secret societies look like nice little civic organizations, when in fact at the very top it is a type of religion, and that religion unfortunately is a black art and a worship directly of Luciferian doctrine, which was, of course, we know as Satan, being Lucifer being the, I guess, the first and most important cherub or angel that God created. So there is a direct link from all secret societies, and I, in my research, I show that in my book, Eden, that it all ties back to the beginning and the lineage of Cain.
And, of course, there are all sorts of these organizations today. I mean, certainly we have the Masons, and we have the Skull and Bones, and we have the Opus Dei, and we have the Knights of Malta, and we have certainly... And most of the people involved have no idea what this is all about.
Exactly.
We have the Bohemian Grove, and certainly we have the Bilderbergers, and we have the Trilateral Commission. Of course, they're not secret, but certainly there are people within that who are part of these secret movements, are using them, and certainly the CFR and the Club of Rome. But there's an elite, and their common goal is this world government. Would that be a fair estimate?
Right, it is. And the sad thing is, like you say, the smaller groups at the bottom of the totem pole or the bottom of the beehive do not really understand what's going on at the top of the beehive. And I find it very interesting that really men are being hoodwinked by this kind of thing. And if you go back and you look in Genesis in chapter 3:13, Eve actually tells the Lord that the serpent beguiled her. And the word beguiled, if you just, you know, take a dictionary and look it up, it's called hoodwink. It's deception. And so I think it's very interesting that, you know, when you get into secret societies, that people are not paying attention to the words that they're using and the type of secret handshakes and all the things that go on and that's involved with that, how that ties back in history. So I would hope that, you know, from my research, that anyone that's involved in those groups, if anything, they start looking into, why am I doing these kinds of things in these particular meetings, and what does that mean? And they will find, if they start asking questions, that they'll be blackballed and more than likely can't move up in the society. So there is proof into what my research is saying.
Well, of course, you go back to the time of, you know, after the, before the flood, and that was the time of the Nephilim and
exactly.
The giants. And why don't you tell a little bit about that?
Well,
I think that it's so hard for most people today to believe that there really are supernatural beings in the world, or there these supernatural forces, and that there really are satanic organizations. There are people who really worship Satan, that Satan is not an abstract idea, but a real entity, a real force in the world, just exactly as God is. But let's get back to the Nephilim, because they... You know, people have sort of forgotten about the giants, and yet, of course, these giants keep showing up time and again in scriptures, both before and after the flood.
Exactly, and I think that's the thing that just concerns me greatly, is that I speak to people who I believe are very Christian, and they are so scared to accept those kinds of things, and I'm like, well, you can't pick and choose out of the Bible what you want to believe. The Bible is as it is, and it is an archaeological record, and we do have archaeological findings beings that were giants. And so when we talk about the sons of God and the Nephilim falling and coming upon the daughters of men, we can't just say that that did not happen when in fact it did, and it did generate a hybrid group of human beings that were huge. And the Bible specifically tells us, even like you say, after the flood, when Moses was bringing the Israelites out of Egypt, that they encountered these remnants of this particular hybrid group of human beings, and they were told to stay away from them. And even the Bible describes Og, who had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot, you know, that, and the size of how he was, and he was just the remnant of it. So I fully try to explain in my book that these were real creatures and that they did exist and that they worshipped Satan. And most of the history books and archaeological finds in these particular areas, like the Sumerians and Babylonians and things like that, show that their worship, or the people that they worship, look like serpents. I mean, their copper figurines have serpentine features. And so you can't dismiss that they were not involved in a satanic religious worship of a being that did exist. And, you know, the Bible in Eden specifically shows in Genesis that Adam and Eve were talking, you know, straight to Satan. They were looking at whatever he was, and they were having a conversation with him. And we also know when Jesus was upon the earth that his first encounter was with the demons. And he talked to the demons, and they talked back to him. And they also were aware of who he was, even when his own people didn't realize who he was. And, of course, you know, when he went to cast them out, they asked him why he had come before the time. So they are very aware of a timeline that's going on from the Garden of Eden till the end of time. And they are preparing their people for that. And we're seeing those things. If you do the research, and I do the research on those evil sides of things, and they have a timeline to have certain things done, to have their Antichrist in power, to have their Pope in power, that kind of thing, at the right time to handle all this.
And, of course, there really is all sorts of evidence of a cosmic timeline, and we wonder why things happen the way they do. And I think that they're just following the script. Do you have that feeling?
Yes, I do believe that they're following a script, and I really go into great detail about, you know, there's a pineal gland that's in our head that seems to be somewhat a transmitter, and that it actually flickers like a serpent's tongue and things like that, and different drugs like the DMTs that have been used to bring about what I call hallucinations of these beings that even in the book of Revelation talks about that they look like like a frog. There were spirits that looked like frogs, and most people that are dealing with what they call alien abduction are either seeing what they believe were aliens, will describe these beings as being a, you know, amphibious lizard type of being that they encountered during these sessions. Even with the government, when they did the remote viewing groups years ago, most of those people that did remote viewing actually run across at some point in time some alien-looking being that looked frog-like. And then, of course, I deal with clients that have been involved with drugs throughout their lifetime, and some of the stories they tell about their encounters once they have gotten high with these beings, you just can't dismiss that the spiritual realm is not really among us and that there is a way to make contact with it, because in the Bible, it says that even Saul contacted an oracle and that they were talking with spirits of the dead and that demons existed. And the thing is that the Lord reminded us not to be involved with those things.
And, of course, and you go back to Deuteronomy, and, you know, the Lord tells us all the things we should avoid. And certainly he doesn't mention specifically by name, but the terms he used refer to fortune tellers and to mediums and to diviners, and we are not to be involved in that. Why? Because there really is this other dimension out there, and you can't contact that other dimension Well, when you do, you leave yourself open to possession. This is what it's all about.
And I think, you know, that's what worries me so much, Dr. Stan, is that I have seen in, I guess, the last 5 years, a movement, even in our churches, to get into meditative, setting states, which is a cobra snake position, in which you are doing a type of Kabbalah activity to raise the serpent from the spine up into the forehead.
Right, because that's the yoga that is being introduced into the Christian churches.
Yes.
And in fact, we were looking at a program the other evening of the Waldorf School, and they had their labyrinth there. And of course, the kids run through the labyrinth. But this is another vehicle that's used, of course, to contact the other dimension. You know, because everything becomes rote. You put your mind into a neutral position, a neutral phrase, and you open it up to these dark spiritual forces from the other dimension. We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Joy Pugh, and it's a fascinating book, Eden. Well, Dr. Joy, you picked the story right up.
I just love doing this.
I know you do. Well, I enjoy it, too, because it's great to find somebody who has a grasp of the fact that there really is a world we live in, and then there's a supernatural world, and we need to understand it's there. We need to be, somebody's got to be there warning people, avoid this at all costs.
And, you know, there are very few people out there doing it, because on the New Age side, they've got plenty of people trying to get you involved in it, but there's not a lot of Christians who are willing to stand up and address the issue.
Right. Well, that's what I do, 5 hours a day on my programs. But you know, we can't talk about it all the time. But, of course, we try to get, and that's why I was so anxious to get you on, to talk about it, because you do such a good job in your book of recognizing the other dimension, the spiritual dimension, which is such a very real part of everyday life, and yet most people have no idea it's even there.
Right.
Well, you go right ahead, because you're talking about the Nephilim, and of course the Nephilim are certainly, they were the giants, and they were the byproduct of the fallen angels mating with women. And because they were there, and this was a very advanced society that existed before the flood. And God, you know, had to do something about it, because the seed of the human race had been contaminated with this demonic seed. And so that was the basis of the Great Flood. And you comment that in all societies, why there's mention of this flood, and certainly not only in Mesopotamia, but certainly in the literature that comes out of South America and out of Asia, there's always a mention of the flood.
That's right. There is a universal deluge in every historical record that we've ever unearthed or found. So that tells you that there was. I have that question asked to me all the time. You know, was it just a flood in a specific area, or was it an entire huge world flood? And my answer is, from my research, is that it was a total world flood. And the whole intent, as the Bible says, was to get rid of the problem that it existed because of the Nephilim's involvement with the women and the birthing of these giants.
But then, of course, after the flood, of course, Noah and his three sons survive. But it was your feeling that the line of the Nephilim was somehow perpetuated through Ham. Would you like to get into that? Because that was such an interesting concept. And, of course, this is this line of evil that we trace all the way back to Cain.
Right. In some of the research that I was able to find, interesting enough, that was in the Masonic histories that I was able to uncover, was that Ham himself was the son of a pharaoh. And so that's an interesting point in the fact that if he was the son of a pharaoh, then of course he was from the king lineage. If he was not the son of pharaoh, then at the moment that he came upon Noah And it says that Noah was in a kind of a drunken state. And, of course, the Bible says that he saw his nakedness. Well, you know, I went a little bit further to understand exactly what that could mean in seeing his nakedness, and was able to uncover some work that Perry Stone had uncovered in regard to the fact that...
Hold that thought in just a moment here. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening, Dr. Joy Pugh. She's done a wonderful job in a book called Eden, The Knowledge of Good and Evil, a book I really could identify with. And she's talking about the fact that certainly the Nephilim had been so evil that they... Certainly God destroyed the world because the genetic lineage within humanity had been contaminated by these demonic forces, these fallen angels. And so there's this great flood, and all that survives is Noah and his three sons, and one of them is Ham. And there's something strange about Ham. And so you pick the story up there, Dr. Joy.
Well, what I was able to uncover in some of the research that Perry Stone had done is that there was a possibility that that involvement that caused Noah to curse his son Ham was that he actually attempted a homosexual act upon his father. And if that happened, then that, of course, that carries us back really to Eden, in that, you know, Eve and Adam apparently had some kind of a relationship with what I believe was Satan to produce their first son Cain, that any type of strange sexual deviation or whatever pollution always seems to be the problem that God has the most problems with. And it seems that that point in time when Noah cursed Ham, then of course he and his wife left and went out, and that's how you actually started the cities of Babylon and Sumerian histories and that kind of thing. I believe that there was the possibility that the hidden knowledge that the Cain lineage had secured was actually possibly on a ship. And according to the Epic of Gilgamesh, there was a man named Zoroaster who put seeds on his ship along with the emerald tablets that contained these hidden sciences. And Ron White's supposedly found a ship at the bottom of Ararat, and interesting enough, it looks a little bit like it might have been an Arabic kind of design in a ship. But anyway, I believe that he found those particular tablets and those stones that they had sunk at the bottom of Ararat, and he took those stone tablets, and he, along with his wife, started in his lineage, began back involving themselves with the Watchers or the Nephilim again.
I think that, let me clarify a little bit. Dr. Joy says that it is possible that there were two arcs. There was an ark, of course, which is very, very high up on Mount Ararat, and some people claim that they've seen it. And then there's the ark that is down at the base there that Ron Wyatt has found that has a metal in it, which is a little different than the ark that Noah had, because there's no mention at all in the Bible of any metal, and yet there was metal in the one that Ron Wyatt found, and there would appear to be, and even today, the Turkish government says that this ark at the bottom is Noah's ark, and yet it's quite far down on Mount Ararat, and I've talked to Ron before he passed away, and he was convinced that this was Noah's ark. But is it possible that this was another ark? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes, I'm suggesting that because of the Epic of Gilgamesh, that a lot of people have tried to say that Zoroaster was actually the same thing as Noah, but it was not. And I agree with you that that particular ark at the bottom of Ararat actually has metal. And in the Bible, there is no mention of metal that was used in the building of Noah's ark.
And so there's a question, is, are there two arks?
I believe that that's exactly correct, because the people who were able to fashion the iron and the steel and the metals were the metallurgical group that was out of Cain's lineage. And the Bible specifically points to them in the book of Genesis and said that they were able to fancy, and they were the people who were able to make and do the work with those kinds of things. It doesn't mention anything about that having come down through the lineage of Seth to Noah.
All right, and of course, the secret knowledge would have been kept with the other group. And this is really the way it's been down through the ages. There's always been people who had the secret knowledge, and some of them went into architecture and the building of the great megaliths and the amazing architecture that we find, you know, very close to the time of Christ.
That's
how
were
they able to build these amazing buildings? And then, of course, the medieval churches, magnificent cathedrals. Where did they get the knowledge to do this? And, of course, this knowledge has been passed down through the centuries. Would that be a fair statement?
That's right. You know, Dr. Stan, I don't think people really realize how did those people build those buildings. And you look all the way back to the Tower of Babel.
Right.
And the whole thing was that God did not want that going on. But that architectural structure has maintained itself through all the megalithic buildings that exist all around the world.
Hold that thought. We're going to be right back here in just a few minutes with Dr. Joy Pugh. Well, pick up the story there, because the story really begins to get really interesting, and of course some of these ideas are quite different. I'd never heard them presented before, but they really are intriguing. So go ahead with the story.
Well, I just found it very interesting that when I was doing the research on the different types of megalithic buildings that existed around the world, and by megalithic I mean like Stonehenge, and I mean, like the Mayan pyramids, Aztec thing, all the everything.
Oh, don't forget the pyramid of Giza too, of course.
Right, all the pyramids, all the huge, you know, megalithic stone buildings. Interesting enough, are all positioned on this earth on ley lines, which are magnetic ley lines where these nodes cross, and there's huge electrical or electromagnetic energy that's in those particular areas. And someone even knew to place those main major Gothic cathedrals that the Templars built. They built them on old oracle sites. And those oracle sites were actually on those same nodes where those electromagnetic currents are. And instead of being temples of what we would say worship to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ or to Jehovah, those things were placed on those oracle sites because on those oracle sites is where they would have a medium go and actually become possessed by what we know as demons or Satan.
And, of course, the Two Agers today talk about the ley lines. And, of course, you'll find that many of our cities are lined up, you know, on ley lines. And you can actually see this back in the East Coast where there'll be in fact, this is covered in those wonderful DVDs we carry, the Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, and, of course, the Riddles in Stone, talking about these ley lines. And they've been known for literally thousands of years to the people within the occult, and only recently to those of us on the Christian side of the equation.
And that's why it's so important that I feel like we have got to bring that to the Christian people, because most of them have never heard this. They've stayed away from anything that they thought was out of the ordinary. But if you're not aware of how Satan has moved through history and how he has used architectural situations to be able to set up places of worship for his own groups where you can have black masses and you can do these types of sacrifices to him, it'll absolutely blow your mind when you realize, just like you were talking about, the labyrinths and things like that they're actually carving into cornfields and having kids walk around in as a learning experience for the GPS satellite systems are nothing but programming them for...
Hold that thought, we'll be right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Joy was talking about the fact that there's so many of the great cathedrals and great buildings, great architecture of Europe, and even here in the United States, are laid out on ley lines, which are electromagnetic lines that have a deep spiritual significance. And go ahead and pick up this idea, because, of course, you were pointing out that certainly most Christians have no idea about any of these things. These are well known to the occultists, Not that necessarily we want to be delving into this, but at least we have to know what the significance of the alignment of so many of the and positioning of buildings, and certainly of laying out of cities and things like that, the occult significance, because these occult influences permeate every aspect of what's going on in the world today. Would that be a fair statement?
Exactly, and it's actually infiltrating our churches, and we don't even realize that it's being infiltrated. It's like I was mentioning earlier about the meditative states and the focusing on things like Om. And if you vibrate your body to a certain frequency, that pineal gland will stand straight out, and it's like a transmission in your forehead, and that is opening yourself up to demonic possession. In every one of the megalithic buildings that exist in this area, you know, in this world, if you find a certain area within there, and there's a pinpointed area in each one of those that you can stand on, and it will vibrate your body. Even if you go and you lay in the sarcophagus of the Great Pyramid and you hum, it will vibrate your body like you would not believe, into almost a state of excitement. But it's that same state, that meditative state, when Satan or demons can enter into the body. And so if you sit in a cobra position and you're doing Om and you're meditating like that, and you don't think there's anything wrong with that, I think you need to do the research, because that particular harmonic geometry came out of the lineage of Cain.
Amen. Okay, fine. Well, Chris, is there anything else you want to cover on as far as the ley lines are concerned, or the megalith?
Well, because the ley lines are like they are throughout the world, those particular Gothic cathedrals were put there and placed there for a time to identify something that's going to happen in the future. And when we were talking about that Satan has got his preparation and plans in order, those Knights Templar already knew that in 2019, that there was going to be an alignment of those particular Gothic cathedrals with the planets on which the oracles were established, that they placed this Gothic cathedrals over. So the mean guys or the bad guys have always known that those megalithic buildings and those types of sites have a particular frequency on the body. And it's unfortunate that, like you said, our first beginning in this country is laid out in Washington, D.C., like you would not believe, on those particular ley lines, just like the megalithic builders built their megalithic statues and monuments throughout the world.
Well, of course, ideas are so foreign to most people here in the United States. And, of course, as I always like to say, there really were two forces in America at the time of our beginning. One was the Christian, but the other was the occult.
Exactly.
And that is what's been totally missed, is the occult influence that was here, that was planning eventually to use the wealth and military power of the United States to bring about this one world government.
You know, and they're falling right along with what I believe were the protocols of Zion. And some people say, well, you know, those are not correct. But when you read those, and somebody wrote those so long ago, and then you look at our history, and you look at our present, and you look where we're headed in the future, they are following those to the pinpoint of each thing that was established. So someone, like you say, was here. They developed this country for a major purpose, and we are going to, you know, be a part of what I believe is end times, and it's not that far away.
Well, of course, the only question is not whether they are accurate, but the question is who wrote them. And I've always felt that the protocols were written by the occultists to deflect attention from themselves, you know, on to, so that we think it was the average Jew that somehow is responsible for everything that's going on in the world, and then, of course, God's people would bear the burden of the criticism, and yet, of course, it would be these satanic forces that were
exactly
really behind this whole thing.
Well, you know, most people probably were like I was. I grew up in a Christian church all my life, and I always thought the word Jew was all-encompassing, that was just one race of people, and there was nothing significantly different. But in doing the research, I found out that really the Hebraic tribes, when they went into captivity with the Babylonians, and the wives had children by the Babylonians, when they all came back, because they weren't really of the true lineage anymore, they called them Jews, and that's how the name Jew came about. So the pollution of the lineage is what really was so upsetting to the Lord, because he did not want his tribes in, or his lineage, his Hebraic lineages that he had, there's those 12 tribes, to have anything to do with those people. And so, you know, once you understand that, like you say, who wrote those protocols are actually what I believe was a type of a Khazar Jew, or somebody playing the Jew, that even our Lord and Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ specifically said they were the synagogue of Satan. And he called them mere vipers when he was walking on this earth. And that same group of unfortunate situations that have set up during the Babylonian captivity and things like that, that infiltrated into the pagan religions, have really maintained a major control of our world, and they are going to make happen what they believed will be their ultimate quest, and that is to sit Satan in the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem and proclaim him as our Messiah.
Well, I think that we're headed for some very, very, very difficult times. And, of course, these secret societies have always been here going back to the days of ancient Babylon. Would that be a fair statement?
Oh, exactly. I mean, my book, Eden, The Knowledge of Good and Evil, it traces it directly back to that. And there, you know, I give you my bibliography, and if you don't believe me, you just take the books that I've got in there and you read them. And I guarantee when you finish doing the research that I've put together there, you will absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, be able to tell that everything that we're experiencing today was set up a long time ago and has come directly through history to do nothing but put Satan in as Messiah of this world.
Well, Chris, the thing is, you talk a lot about the Sumerians. I don't think most people, you know, we talk about, of course, the Persians, and we talk about the Medes, and we talk about the Babylonians, but most people don't think too much about the Sumerians. Or, of course, we know that there was Assyrians and the Assyrians, but the Sumerians seem to be a very, very well-developed culture.
That's right, and even to this day, with all the, you know, the historical records we have, we still do not know what caused the massive explosion of civilization, and civilization came from those Sumerians.
Right.
And they were very, very intelligent beings, and people who believe that, you know, we kind of started out as a bunch of little cavemen, I'm sorry. That's not the case when you review the clay tablets of the Sumerians and how magnificent they were in their civilization all those years ago.
And of course, they certainly had a certain amount of metallurgy as well, didn't they?
Oh, they had all the capability of metallurgy, and they had all the capability of understanding the astrological signs in the skies and the times and astronomy and the stars. I mean, it absolutely is amazing what those people had access to. And if you look at what they were doing in those times, I fully believe were the attempt to continue the satanic lineage secretly hidden, and we've been talking about that, inside of these secret societies, so that they would continue through history to really bring about what Satan always wanted. He wanted to be God. He didn't like being the second in command. He did not like the fact that our Creator created us in his image, and I will tell you that he didn't create Satan in his image, and he didn't create the angels in his image. And I think there was a lot of things that Satan wanted to be like God, and so, you know, he's going to take mankind, and he's going to take those people that have been following him all these years, and he's going to give them the knowledge that they need to build a vehicle that he can ride in and proclaim himself Messiah. That's what he's always wanted to do. That's what he wanted to do in the Garden of Eden. If he had really cared about humanity, he would have told Eve, you know, you need to keep eating of the tree of life if you want to live forever. But instead, he wanted to give her information that would one day allow him to walk into that temple that's going to be rebuilt in Jerusalem and proclaim himself God.
And that's why Jerusalem's so important today. That's why what's going on in the Holy Land is so important today. That's why it's so important what George Bush is trying to do over there, is to create an independent Palestinian state, which is really totally in violation of God's plan.
Exactly. And, you know, and anybody that cannot look at that and see it, especially if they read prophecy, how all of that is all coming to pass. I mean, it's just absolutely mind-blowing. When I started putting prophecy together as a young girl, you know, I might find a piece here and a piece there that I thought fit into the puzzle. But now I was emailing a person today that was asking me some questions, and I said, I cannot even keep up every day, and I do this every day, all the things that are happening that are prophetic. Where, you know, 10 years ago, there was a couple of things here and there, and 10 years before that, there might be one or two pieces. But it's on a daily basis now that things are just falling into place, and you can just see the picture just coming together. And we are so close to the Antichrist coming, you know, on board, and the second coming of our Lord and, you know, Savior Jesus Christ coming back.
Well, of course, the thing is, though, that if we read the scriptures, why we see talk of wars, and certainly there may be several wars. One, the war of Ezekiel, and then the war of Armageddon. So before the man of sin is exposed, of course, there's going to be a great falling away, we're told. And then, of course, there's going to be even more wars. And you look at what's going on in the Middle East today, and you can almost feel, especially the people who are over there, can feel the imminence of some sort of another war coming in very, very soon.
Exactly. And we're going to see those kinds of things just escalate, because we're seeing, like, what the Bible talks about, the birth pains of a woman at the end of time, that those birth pains were closer and closer and closer together. And you can already see that it's no different than the weather pattern, you know, and how things are changing as far as the seasons, and how the sun is going through various cycles, and how we're experiencing more of the solar flares that are huge solar flares that we've never, ever seen in historical records that we've been keeping on even just the sun. So these things are happening not every now and then. They're happening daily.
And, of course, here just a couple of days ago, while we had supposedly a couple of little Iranian motorboats, speedboats, challenging the American fleet, which doesn't make sense. I mean, why would a couple of little Iranian boats that could be just blown out of the water with impunity be challenging the mightiest naval armada, you know, the world has ever known? And if it doesn't make sense, it's got to be another explanation. And as I see that happening, it sort of foreshadows some sort of the war, I think, that is coming there in the Middle East. And I think that this, of course, is one of the things that is prophesied. There's going to be a great war in the Middle East, and these forces are all going to then be moving on Israel.
Exactly. I mean, that's the whole intent, is to be able to control that particular little piece of ground, because it's actually so sacred.
Amen to that. Well, of course, the book that Dr. Joy has written is fascinating. Would you like to get your telephone number out and your website? People that want to get your book?
Yes, you can go to my website. My website is www.drjoye, that's joy with an E, .com. So it's www.drjoye.com. And if you would like to email me, on my website it has my email address. And, of course, both of my books that I've written are on my website, and they have links to where you can purchase those books. And, of course, Eden, the Knowledge of Good and Evil, is available through all your online bookstores like Barnes & Noble and Amazonbooks.com and Borders and Walmart, the whole nine yards, wherever. Just make sure you just put in the title, Eden, the Knowledge of Good and Evil. And usually they have me listed as Dr. Joy Jeffries Pugh, and my middle name is Jeffries. But if you'll go to my website again at www.drjoye.com, it'll give you all that information.
How is the book moving?
It's doing great. You know, I get really excited because I get so many emails from what I call, you know, Germany and Australia and places like that, Canada. And so it's thrilling to know that your book, you know, is being bought overseas, and that people are kind of excited about it. I think it's like you said, there's a lot of people who have often thought these things, but there's never been a book put together that actually incorporated science and religion together. That genre is usually separated. And in my book, that's exactly what I do. I show you science and religion together so that you can use it as a reference guide. If you're watching TV and you see something that you don't understand, you can go to my index and look it up, and it'll tell you exactly what you've seen. So I hope that this will be a real tool that people will continue to use and not put on a bookshelf and leave it sitting somewhere.
And of course, you talk about the Masons and the part that they play in this.
Oh, and it's quite amazing because, you know, most everyone in their family at some point in time or another have had Masonic men that have been very active in that particular organization. And I do try to explain the particular oaths and the blood oaths and what they mean and the kind of symbols that they're involved with and even what their particular temples are set up to imitate. And I hope that, you know, in reading that, like I said, that those people will start questioning what they're involved in and make sure that they understand. I mean, it's really important that whatever you get yourself involved in, you need to know firsthand. You need to do the research. You know, when I say I'm going to join this, do I know what I'm joining? And am I joining it just for fun? And if I'm joining it for fun, if I'm saying God's name in a different way or I'm yoking myself together with unbelievers in a spiritual setting, you know, how does God handle that? And I try to really be straightforward about what the Bible has to say about those kinds of things.
Well, certainly I think it's so important that people... Here we have 2 million Masons in the United States. Used to have about 4 million, but somewhere they've lost quite a few, whether it's 2 or 3 million today. But these are all men who've sworn these same occult oaths. But the origin of the ideas of Masonry, not the Masons, they started in about 1717, but the origins of these ideas date right back to the ancient mystery religions of Babylon and Egypt and Persia, and the average Mason doesn't really understand that this is a modern day manifestation of these ancient mysteries.
Right. And it's quite sad because they stand in those secret halls and they're saying things and they're actually condemning their soul.
Amen to that.
And it's scary to me because when you place a compass and square on top of the Bible, you're putting some between you and God.
Amen to that. We're going to be back in just a minute. We've been talking about the book Eden, The Knowledge of Good and Evil. Well, certainly one of our callers asked for the significance of the Egyptian pyramids. Would you want to hazard a guess at that?
What the significance of it is?
Right. Somebody say, what is the significance of the Egyptian pyramids?
Well, again, I really do believe that it was a place to worship Satan. And I believe that the sarcophagus was used for the purpose of actually transmitting information back and forth from the pharaoh into the spiritual realm.
Okay.
Because they were part, like, I fully believe that they were part fallen angel, and they were a type of hybrid. If you look at the pharaoh images, if you go down to any kind of museum and look at those pharaohs, they look like a male and a female. They do not look totally male, and they do not look totally female. They also have a serpentine feature, and their foreheads and the back of their heads are the cranium is very elongated. So there is something very strange about those creatures.
All right, you're talking now about the pharaohs.
The pharaohs.
All right, fine. Of course, they were supposedly God's representative, but what God? And that's the big problem. People don't understand that although we believe there's one God, the other people believe in a different God. And this is where we get into problems because we can't get our ideas out until we understand, this ancient lineage going all the way back to the Garden of Eden.
Exactly, and I think that's where the New Age is trying to make people believe, and even the Pope has done that. He's tried to say to them, you know, to the Muslims and to the Hindus, we all worship the same God by a different name. Well, I hate to inform them, but we do not worship the same God by a different name.
Amen to that. Well, look, you know, I originally had thought of having you on for 2 hours. We're only going to have you on 1 hour tonight, but would you come back with us again for another hour? Because I think that there's so much in the book. We've just begun to scratch the surface here.
I would just love to be back,
Dr. Right.
Stan, at any time that you would have me, because I enjoy this research, and I've enjoyed so much being your guest tonight.
Well, I appreciate so much your being with us. Our guest has been Dr. Joy Pugh. And, of course, her book, Eden, The Knowledge of Good and Evil. is a fascinating, fascinating book, and certainly one of the best explanations of so much of what's going on in the world today from the spiritual point of view and from the supernatural point of view, because unless we address the fact that there is a supernatural realm, we can't understand the Bible at all, because it's full of supernatural things. Dr. Joy, thank you so very much for being with us. It's been my pleasure, and we will really look forward to having you with us again.
That sounds great. Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Good night. God bless.
You too.
All right, fine. Well, we'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, somebody had called in and wanted to know the significance of the pyramids, and Dr. Joy believes that they were a center for worship of Satan. And she believes, of course, that the pharaohs, if you look at the pictures that they have been left inscribed to them, there's something very strange about their heads, almost serpentine, a very large occiput, a very large forehead. And she believes that they are perhaps of supernatural origin, and they were able to communicate then with the demonic spirits, and that the pyramids were centers for worship of Satan. Anyway, of course, we enjoyed having Dr. Joy, and we're going to have her back again some evening to explore more of this, because we truly are involved in the spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization, and the megaliths throughout the world are a manifestation of the other dimension. I mean, how were the people in South America able to build pyramids so similar to those in Egypt? Why, of course, they were tapping into the same supernatural intelligence, and all oriented north, south, east, and west almost perfectly to the degree. How could they do that with their knowledge at that time? Why, they were tapping into the supernatural. Well, certainly we probably are going to be carrying this book ourselves. We think it's a very fascinating book and fascinating insight into what's going on. If you haven't read my book, which is really very simple, it's called The Brotherhood of Darkness. And, of course, then we have going along with that the talk on DVD. It's entitled The Forbidden Secret, because it talks about this secret that's been passed down through the centuries by the secret societies. And there have been the secret societies going all the way back to ancient Babylon and through Egypt and Persia and the Sumerians, and then, of course, on into more modern times through the Gnostics and the Templars and the Rosicrucians and to modern-day Masonry. But they all tie together, and until you understand that, nothing makes any sense going on today. When you understand, as Dr. Joy said, that the fact that the nation's capital was laid out according to astrological concepts, and as above, so below. And that was the answer. That's why Washington, D.C. is laid out as it is. That's covered beautifully in a DVD we carry called Riddles in Stone, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. And then, of course, the DVD, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. We recommend those. Of course, we have Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2. They're DVDs that give you an overview of the spiritual battle that is taking place today. Certainly a DVD that we produced on the Atlantis connection, because America is to be the new Atlantis. The DVD with Constance Cumby, who's certainly one of the most knowledgeable people about the New Age, the emergence. And, of course, what is the emergence? Why, the emergence is the coming of the Antichrist into the world, and they're planning to bring him into the world in the not-too-distant future. And, of course, they being the people on the other side of the spiritual equation. And Constance does a great job with that. I think you'll really enjoy her DVD as well as her four-tape set of four interviews with Constance Cumby. So we recommend that to you. Of course, our telephone number, if you'd like more information, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And please If you'd like, of course, get a free catalog. I'd like to get a free newsletter. If you'd like to get a health catalog of health products, or a catalog dealing with the emergency food products, which we think everybody should be laying in for the difficult times that lie ahead, you just have to ask for the emergency food catalog or the health catalog, or just the regular catalog. You can get all of them if you want to. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And we'll be back in just a moment. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Glenn Parnham, and we're going to be talking about, of all things, stem cells. And yet, of course, if you begin to realize the implications of the stem cell research that is going on in the world today, this could transform the practice of medicine. It could transform the lives of literally millions and millions of people. So without further ado, let's go to Glenn Parnham. Glenn, thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
Well, Dr. Stan, it's an honor. I have been a student of your teachings for many, many years, and we have talked in the past, but I have to say it is an honor to be on your show, because you're one of my heroes, because you tell the truth.
Well, we do our best, and I'm not a hero. I'm just a guy that is fortunate enough to have a voice, and it's almost miraculous that we have what we have, but we do have the ability to reach all around the world. So it's so good to have you back with us again. But tell me, how did you get interested in the subject of stem cells?
Well, okay, I'm a clinical studies researcher, have been for many, many years. And I was asked by a colleague of mine, okay, because there was a family member who had a stroke. And this was in July of 07. So I got on the phone to all of my research colleagues and the neuro and brain scientist that I know. I says, okay, I've never done any full-blown research, okay, on the effects of a stroke or how to reverse it, but I want to know all the inside information, okay? I don't care if it's experimental. I don't care what it is, because I really do not believe the standard medical practice of what they do. So I heard about hyperbaric oxygen, which I had known about, and some other IV things. But one of my colleagues said, well, let's see, they live in Arizona. Why don't you just take them down over the border to Tijuana, Mexico, where there is this really high-end first-class clinic that he said does adult stem cell protocol. And I said, wait, what is that? You know, because the media is filled with all of this talk in the last several months about what's called embryonic stem cells. And he and this guy, who I trust explicitly, said, you need to do a little research on PubMed, which is the largest published medical website, okay, in the world. And he said, what you're going to find out is this embryonic stem cell is nothing but a complete fraud. He said, it is political, it is moral, it is religious nonsense.
Hold that thought, we'll be back. Yes. Oh, no, go right ahead. You're doing fine. Go ahead.
Okay, so I said, well, that's interesting. Okay, so he said, go on to PubMed, okay, which is PubMed.go. I hear some music coming up.
All right, go ahead. I'll tell you when to stop. Go ahead.
Okay, and I went to PubMed.gov, and it has its own search engine where you can type in any disease, anything you want to know, okay, about medicine and any published medical studies. And when I typed in adult stem cells, I was a combination of things. I was livid and excited at the same time, because up comes literally thousands upon thousands of published medical studies about what is in the bone marrow of even a baby when they're born. Okay? Stem cells are embryonic for a fraction of a second.
Hold up. We'll be back in just a moment.
There we go.
All right, Glenn, well, you are on PubMed, you're reading the Internet, you're getting thousands and thousands of references to this idea of stem cells, so go ahead.
Okay, so what comes up are literally thousands of studies showing that adult stem cells, all right, and babies are born with trillions of these stem cells in their bone marrow. They are not embryonic. Okay, that only happens when the sperm meets the egg for a fraction of a second, and then they are, okay, adult stem cells. And then this list, compiled by the National Institutes of Health and all of these other different research facilities all over the world, showing, okay, and it was incredulous to me that just this blatant, prideful thing, well, sure, 74 major diseases of every type can be cured. Now, that's not my word. That's their word, because, as you know, you can't use cured if you're talking anything except pharmaceutical drugs, and they don't cure a thing, of course. So, and I'm seeing this list with cancers, all right, strokes, heart attacks, arthritis, all these major things. And then these other, I really shouldn't call them minor, because people who have them, okay, it's not minor to them, but like, stroke damage, spinal cord injury, Parkinson's disease, sickle cell disease, chronic liver failure, chronic Epstein-Barr, osteoporosis, corneal regeneration, meaning it regenerates eye tissue, coronary artery disease. So I'm seeing this whole big long list, and then depression and headaches and joints and asthma, okay, and we'll tell some stories about these things. So I'm thinking, all right, here we have thousands of published medical studies indicating that if you can increase the circulation in your body of adult stem cells that are in the bone marrow from the time we're born, these diseases will go away. So I said, well, that's fascinating. All right, and if babies have these in their bone marrow, what the studies also showed was that they pour out of the bone marrow into the bloodstream of young people daily, okay? And, anybody listening, if they've had children or if they have grandkids, and the kids fall off their bikes, as, you know, it always happens, and they skin their knees and elbows and arms and hands and everything, we knew as parents or grandparents, all we had to do was clean that wound, because in 2 days it's going to be totally healed. Well, I didn't know at the time.
Hold that thought right there. We'll be back in just a moment with Glenn Punt. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Glenn was simply talking about getting onto PubMed and and finding out, of course, the stem cells are circulating in the bone marrow, and certainly in children, how prevalent they are, and how if a child has a scrape or a laceration or whatever it'll be, all you did was clean it up, it'll ordinarily heal, and heal just as good as new, and heal very, very rapidly, because, of course, the child has this tremendous capacity to regenerate. Go right ahead there.
All right. And then, unfortunately, what they're finding out in science is that about age 25 or 30, the bone marrow, gets, let's just call it really stingy. Instead of dumping these adult stem cells into the bloodstream, then they kind of just hold them back. So that's what starts, all right, the aging process. Because prior to that, if there's a tissue damage, like a skin, knee, or a cut or something, all right, that organ or tissue sends a signal. It's a frequency called a cytokine into the bloodstream, and these circulating stem cells, adult stem cells, recognize the frequency and go to that area of the body and regenerate it. Boom! I mean, it's miraculous. Well, you know, age 25 or 30, we don't have them, okay, in our bloodstream. They're still in our bone marrow. And it was a fascinating study to find out they've known this for years. And yet, there is not one clinic that you can go to in this country yet that will drill into your bone marrow like they do like outside the country. And because I live in Arizona, the family member could have gone down to Tijuana. But all over the world are these clinics that you can go to, and they will drill into the hip bone normally, extract the adult stem cells, put them into an IV bag, and put them right back into your body. And it's about $5,200 per session. But just to give you an example, a very good friend of ours who had cancer, all right, and I was talking to her like a couple of weeks ago, okay, about this really breakthrough in the natural industry with this with the release of the adult stem cells. She said, yeah, I went to the clinic down in Tijuana. It was four sessions at about $5,200 each, and she said they cured my cancer. I don't have cancer anymore, and every doctor in this country said there was nothing that they could do. So I found that absolutely fascinating, and I was getting madder and madder by the minute as I'm doing this research. I said, wait a minute. There are literally millions of people in this country suffering from all these chronic diseases, but you don't hear a thing, all right, on these adult stem cells. All you're hearing is this nonsense about the embryonic, and we are at least 10 years away from any useful drug made from embryonic stem cells.
Well, I don't think they'll ever have anything useful from embryonic. I think adult stem cells, fine, but embryonic is, because they have the capacity to, you can't harness the direction they're going to go when they're embryonic, and they'll form, fingernails and bone and nerve tissue and muscle tissue, and they form teratomas. So the embryonic are pretty hard to harness.
Exactly. So, in fact, I have a book in front of me, okay, that I was doing a international radio show, and the man is out of Canada, and during the break he came on and says, look, with everything you know about stem cells, you've got to talk to the author of this book, and the book is called Miracle Stem Cell Heart Repair, and his name is Christian Wild. So I called him over in California, and this book documents what's going on in this country right now called FDA trials at every major cardiovascular research facility, which includes Arizona Heart Institute, all right, which is like the number one. We have people come from all over the world, okay, to Arizona Heart Institute, but Johns Hopkins and these other ones, these FDA trials are doing this. And this is absolutely going to revolutionize medical technology as we know it. In fact, there is a whole new medical industry growing up with this new adult stem cell protocol. It's called regenerative medicine. Because here's what they're doing. Now, if you ask any cardiologist right now who does not know of these FDA trials and what's happening, that what do the medical textbooks say that if a heart has gone through a heart attack and has damaged tissue, can that tissue ever be repaired or regenerated? And every medical textbook in the world says, no, once a heart's been damaged, it's damaged, and you either have to go through replacement of the heart or, you know, do bypass surgery when it comes to do. But if a heart's been damaged, that's it. Well, in this book, Miracle Stem Cell Heart Repair, Christian Wild documents that what they're doing, all right, is they're taking hearts that are even damaged by 3 and 4 heart attacks. I mean, the people are on their deathbed, ready for, heart replacement, and they are extracting from their own bone marrow the adult stem cells, okay, or from their leg muscles, injecting them into the heart muscle, and the heart literally regenerates itself. They are going to have to rewrite every medical textbook in the world, and this is going to become the new direction, okay, and it's called regenerative medicine, all right? Used to be called anti-aging, whatever, but this is a whole new thing based on these adult stem cells. So, how long it's going to take for the FDA to approve this procedure? Anybody's guess. What it's going to cost? You and I both know something, Dr. Stan. It's going to be health care for the rich again, okay? And if the insurance companies, okay, will cover it, who knows? So, we were ready to take this family member down to Tijuana when I get a call. And I have been asked to research this company and product 2 years ago called StemTech Health Sciences, and the product is called StemEnhance. But because the gentleman who approached me about this, now he's a very successful businessman, okay, and here I am a clinical researcher, so he approaches me about making money instead of saying this could well be the greatest natural medical breakthrough in the history of medicine. He didn't approach me that way, so when he started talking to me about money, we have a wellness center, and, you know, it takes a lot of money to keep that thing going, but that's not my motivation any more than it is yours. I have known for years, if you have a product that saves lives and changes lives, we still live, for the time being, in a capitalistic free enterprise society. You'll make money, but that's not the driving force anymore. But then this friend of mine, her name is Dr. Mary Ruth Swope. I don't know if you've ever heard of her, doctor. She's 88 years old. She looks about 60. When we were walking up the stairs to the second floor of a TV station where we were filming a TV show in the last 30 days, she beat me up the stairs. Okay? She taught at the university level for 32 years in nutrition, probably one of the greatest nutritional writers I have ever met, okay, and I've known her for 20 years. Her books and papers are published in like 20 languages. But last year, okay, at 88 years of age, she was virtually blind from macular degeneration. And because she's rather wealthy, she had been to every ophthalmologist, okay, every high-end eye doctor in the world and said, okay, what's the inside scoop? What can I do? And they all said the same thing. Says, Mary, you're the 8th person in your family line who has had this terrible problem, okay, and you've done a very good job at slowing it down with some very good nutritional things, but come on, you're 87 years old, this was last year, and, you know, you're at the end of this, and there's nothing we can do to regenerate the eye tissue once you have this macular degeneration. Well, that's not true, because her son-in-law called her up. Her son-in-law was a very prominent doctor in Indiana, had a practice for 40 years, but he had had a stroke, had lost his ability to speak, and went into clinical depression, and had to sell his practice. So he gets a call from a doctor friend of his from Florida and says, Dr. David, you have got to start using this product called StemEnhance because it's literally curing all of my patients who I haven't been able to help that much over the years. All right, and these are medical doctors talking. So Dr. David goes on this StemEnhance product, and it cures him. His speech comes back. Everything is fine. So he he calls up his mom-in-law, Dr. Mary Ruth Swope, and this was late October of 06. And he said, "Mary, I know you've been to all these doctors. I want you to trust me. I want you to take 4 capsules a day of this Stem Enhanced product, which comes from a water-based algae product, but they concentrated down the 2 active ingredients, and they have triple-blind studies and full patents on this. If it didn't have the science behind it, you and I wouldn't even be talking, because I'm so fed up with the so-called natural industry, because most of it's become a bunch of synthetic garbage and that." So he said, "If you'll trust me, let's see what happens." So she agreed to go on 4 capsules a day. She started November 4th of 06. Didn't notice anything in November. Didn't notice much in December, because she's so healthy. All right, now we've had people on it now for about 6 or 8 weeks, and the sicker they are, the faster they feel it. But in her case, all she had was just macular degeneration. I'm hearing some music, too. But anyway, didn't notice anything in January of 07, but she wakes up February 8th of just last year, a year ago, and her eyesight's restored. Okay? Because here's what they have proven about this natural product. And it's going to be so interesting to see how this plays out, because it clearly threatens $100 billion worth of pharmaceutical drugs. Every 2 capsules of this Stem Enhanced product has been triple-blind study and clinically proven to release 3 to 4 million of your own adult stem cells from your bone marrow, puts it into the bloodstream, and it goes to where the damaged organ or tissue is.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Glenn, that sounds like amazing. I'd certainly like to see the documentation on that.
Okay. I sent to you, at least to the address that Murray Rubin gave me, so I don't have it here in front of me. I sent you the a 45-minute DVD by the chief science officer of the company. And it's got the triple-blind studies. It's got the patents. It shows you all of the science. There was recently a published study in a coronary artery heart magazine or something. Okay, and the reprints are now available.
How long ago did you send it to me?
Probably 3-4 days.
All right, fine. Well, let's hope that it gets here. I'll certainly look forward to hearing about it and to reading about it and seeing those scientific studies. Do you have access to the scientific studies?
Yes, absolutely. Okay, and
I'd really like you to send those, because I'd like to look at them.
I will get a copy of it for you, and in fact, off the air, okay, I'll get your email and I can send you that. But that's one of the things that impressed me so much, okay, because we have, like a lot of people, come to our wellness center in Scottsdale, and they pull up to this big, like 3,000 square foot building, and they think they're going to walk into a big health food store. And they are astounded, because they walk in, and the products that we do sell fit in a little room, because we don't have that many products, because, 95% of all the nutritional things on the market have become a bunch of synthetic garbage, because most people have not read the stories and have, found the truth that most of the industry and the supply houses that supply the so-called natural industry have been bought out by the pharmaceutical cartel, getting ready to slam dunk, which, I've heard you talk about it. You know, our health freedoms are almost a thing of the past if we don't rise up, because they have already put in place all the things for the codex, and anything that is going to help people stay healthy, they really want to take it away. Okay, so unfortunately, most of the nutritional industry that used to be whole food-based and very good for you, okay, has now become a bunch of synthetic crap. And it just breaks my heart to see it happening. But every once in a while, you come up with these amazing breakthroughs. Okay, and, it was all in God's timing, because if I had researched this 2 years ago when the company was brand new, well, you know, they wouldn't have all of the, of the science that's ongoing. And in fact, there's a Canadian research hospital, and I am following this with really, anticipating excitement, because it's an ongoing study on this product called Stem Enhanced. And they are finding that it is raising the natural killer cells in the body to such a level that they're saying that it looks pretty much like it's going to make the cells virus-proof. Now, if that's true, you know, with everything we know what's coming, with the plagues, the man-made things, you know, all this talk about the bird flu, come on, let's be honest about it. If anybody will, you know, take a cursory look at it, it's not bird flu, it's pig flu, it's man-made, it's genetically modified. And, you know, it's amazing. You're not hearing anything on the controlled media in this country, okay, but I'm signed up because one of my specialties is infectious diseases. I get emails all the time from colleagues around the world in these different websites. Bird flu and some very, very strange diseases are spreading all over the world.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Glenn Parnham. He's talking about something, a product called Stem Enhance, and he's mentioning that diseases are spreading all over the world, new diseases. He's getting information from his friends doing research throughout the world, and certainly most people don't understand that there's really shortages of food in India and China. In other words, the food that people can afford because of the soaring prices of wheat and of corn, and there's food shortages throughout the world, and now we're seeing evidence of a new plague springing up. Would that be a fair statement, Glenn?
Oh, that's more than fair. And I've watched your DVD many, many times where you expose all the chemicals that have been purposely put in foods and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, everything that you have been a watchman on the wall about for years is now absolutely coming to pass.
Well, tell us a little bit, how does the Stem Enhance actually work? I mean, how does it increase the release of stem cells?
Well, okay, what these scientists did, and this has been an ongoing process for about 10 years, okay, that, blue-green algae, okay, and we've known about that, you know, for decades in the so-called health industry, and there were some, you know, amazing testimonials from people just eating blue-green algae. It was a big thing, okay, several years ago. But these scientists, started to really look into the, the DNA of this. It's AFA. It's a long, it's a real long Latin name for this, you know, blue-green algae plant. What they were able to do over a 10-year period was to isolate down two active ingredients in the AFA, and to concentrate them to such an extent, okay, because people, if they hadn't concentrated down, you're talking about eating pounds and pounds and pounds for months at a time, okay, and one of the ingredients simply stimulates, okay, when the body has stopped dumping the adult stem cells into the bloodstream, as it does when we're younger, all right, so one of the ingredients, okay, stimulates that release, okay, from the bone marrow. The other ingredient stimulates the circulating stem cells to go to the area of the body that has been sending out like a 911 call. Okay, here's what they know for sure about the physiology of disease. That, let's just take an example of a heart. That, you know, as the heart muscle is, hit with the different chemicals and the bad fats and the things in the food and the environment and everything, it would literally send out like a 911 call and saying, okay, you know, this muscle is deteriorating, or it could be the kidneys or the liver or ovaries or prostate, whatever. And it would send out this 911 call, okay, it's called a cytokine. It's almost like a frequency that's in the blood, okay, and saying, hello, I need some help. Well, when the adult stem cells are not circulating, it would be like you calling up the fire department with a fire, and there's no answer. So the house just burns down. Well, this is what happens to the different organs and the tissues and the blood vessels in the body. Okay, let's just take one example, the pancreas. I saw this documentary the other day. Diabetes is a worldwide epidemic, and you and I both know that it's man-made, and there's trillions of dollars being made off of this, but the point being, certain chemicals and certain agents in the food and water and air and everything literally destroy pancreatic tissue function. And this leads to either type 1 or type 2 diabetes, everything like that. I have seen the clinical studies showing that adult stem cells, when they get into the pancreas, literally regenerate pancreatic tissue.
But, of course, they're getting in with this stem enhanced. We know that they can inject the certainly the cultured stem cells in there, but what about the stem enhanced? Does that work the same way?
Exactly. Okay, that they have proven, okay, with very sophisticated triple-blind studies. Now, you know, I would think most of your listeners are, okay, are pretty intelligent, but just in case they don't know what that term means. See, any time that anybody hears that a drug has been approved by the FDA, and they normally know what that means. I call it the Fatal Drug Association, but, you know, that's another story. But anytime they hear that a drug has been approved, it's had to go through what's called double-blind placebo-controlled studies. It's the gold standard of the established medical cartel for proving, okay, that a drug works. Well, with the stem enhance, it's gone through triple-blind studies, all right? And they were able to, with this very sophisticated testing, okay? And see, this is outlined on a 45-minute DVD. And, you know, if you would like, I would love to offer this information pack at no charge to you.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment.
Okay.
All right, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Go ahead, Glenn.
Okay, so, you know, if you would like your listeners to be able to get a free information pack, we'll even pick up the shipping. This 45-minute DVD is by the Chief Science Officer. Now, I have to admit, before I saw this DVD, my past experiences with nutritional companies, if you know, even though this is not a nutritional product, I mean, it falls in that category, but it's a whole new category of stem enhancers, I guess how they describe it. But before I saw the DVD, I'm thinking every other corporate DVD I've ever seen is so watered down because they can't really say much because they're worried about the FDA coming in and shutting them down for making claims. I was very pleasantly surprised that this 45-minute DVD from the corporation, Stemtech Health Sciences, with the chief science officer and one of the scientist inventors, goes through the triple-blind studies, okay, what started them on this pathway, and he shows the triple-blind studies.
Well, now, wait a minute. What is a triple-blind study? Certainly we know what a double-blind study is, but what's a triple-blind study?
What they do, instead of only using two control groups, they actually use a third, okay, to verify what the double blind said, okay, and it was so fascinating and so outside the realm of anything they have ever seen, okay, because this, just as the book by Christian Wild talks about the miracle stem cell heart repair in the traditional medical industry, where they're going to have to rewrite the medical textbooks, and this whole new industry called regenerative medicine is growing up around this technology of them extracting it from the bone marrow or their leg muscles and injecting it into the heart, and the heart comes back. When they first saw the double-blind studies on this AFA product, as it's called, okay, what it did as far as releasing stem cells, okay, it's a physiological dose. There is absolutely no danger whatsoever, because this is even under what the body would release at a younger age, okay, but every two capsules of this stem enhance releases somewhere between 4 to 5 million of your own adult stem cells into the bloodstream, and then they would follow these things around, okay, and they found that it would go to the first organ that was damaged. It would, okay, and all right, it would use up the stem cells. And then any unused ones would just go right back into the bone marrow, like an army waiting, say, okay, I'm ready for my next order.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Glenn is talking about the Stem Enhance product and how it actually pulls the adult stem cells out of the bone marrow and circulates them through the body, and they go to the area that where there is damage, and then, of course, they any leftover go back into the bone marrow. Go ahead with the story, Glenn.
Right, and then, okay, and again, on this 45-minute DVD, like if you want me to give out a toll-free number where they can call and get it, I will. But then they also have patents. Now, we have other patented products at International Health, where I'm the research director. And what amazing...
You are actually the research director at the at this company?
No. Okay. At a company called International Health. We're in Arizona. But this company is Stemtech Health Sciences.
All right. Okay.
Okay. So, but we have other patented products which we carry, okay, at International Health. And when we went through that first process of patents, we had to prove more to the patent office about the scientific validity of the product that we were trying to get a patent on, like a use patent and other manufacturing process patents. We had to prove more to the patent office than we did to the FDA. It absolutely astounded me, the behind-the-scenes political nonsense. You know, you hear all this stuff, you know, that you have to prove everything to the FDA and that they do not approve, you know, natural products. Well, the patent office, and in fact, one of our products that we have, when we got our 50th clinical study showing that it kills every pathogen known to medical science, the FDA sent us a little letter and said, if you release those studies, we'll shut you down as a new drug. Now, these are full medical protocol studies. So, of course, I go to my lawyers just livid, okay, and they say, look, just be patient. That product's being tested all over the world. Somebody's going to publish the studies, and then it's an independent third party, and you can publish them on your website, and the FDA can go scratch. Well, little did we know it was going to be the patent office. So any time that I hear now that there is a patent on a particular, natural product, it always piques my interest as a research scientist because we've had to go through it. And if you can prove to the patent office that the scientific validity of a product is there, then you get patents. So this Stem Enhance product not only has triple blind studies, that's impeccable science, which you'll see because I sent you the 45-minute DVD, and then the patent indicating that it does exactly what they say it does. That every time you take two capsules, it stimulates the release of your own adult stem cells from your bone marrow, puts them into the bloodstream, and they go to where the tissue or organs are in trouble and do what stem cells do. And see, the chief science officer on the DVD, okay, from Stemtech Health Sciences, even says, you know, one of the problems with this product, it works too well. And he said, we have to be very cautious and stay within the guidelines of the dietary, you know, rules because, you and I both know, if this product is real, and you'll know it is once you see the DVD, that this threatens hundreds of billions of dollars of future revenues from the pharmaceutical cartel, who's going to try to release drugs that do the same thing and everything. But here we have a product that... all of your big scientific organizations, and you'll see the list of the diseases because I sent them to you in the information pack. Okay, it's unbelievable the number of diseases that are said will be cured if you can increase the adult stem cells circulating. Let me just got a couple of the studies here in front of me. Let me just read you, okay, a couple of these, all right? And these are just the headings off of PubMed. Stem cells can form cartilage in bone. And that was published in 99. So, I'm thinking, wait a minute, there's all these people suffering from, hip replacements and knee problems and that, and they're saying that, and this was in the world's leading journal of original scientific research, April of 99, it says stem cells from bone marrow can form cartilage in bone. Alright, stem cell patients showed significant improvement in nerve conduction velocities and showed maintenance, in bone mineral density. That was in bone marrow transplant of 2002. Okay? Bone marrow derived stem cells are able to form neuronal tissues. That's nerve cells. Bone marrow stem cells can form liver, skin, and digestive tract cells. That was published in the New England Journal of Medicine in 2002. Okay? Wound healing. Journal of Cellular Physiology. Stem cells participate in the generation of new neurons within the human brain. That comes from the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. And, you know, I saw thousands upon the, thousands and thousands, okay, renewal of cardiac tissue, mobilized stem cells are those that have, released into the bloodstream.
But, of course, the thing is this with this stem enhance, or it's just stem cells?
Well, okay, and see, this is where we have to be very cautious. I am reading you absolute scientific documentation that if you can increase the circulating stem cells from your bone marrow into your bloodstream, all of these scientific studies say that they will cure these diseases.
But
and then, you know, just to make sure, just in case, you know, and I'm sure because of your reputation and that, you know, some of our friends at the FDA probably listen to your show just like they do mine here in Phoenix. So, can I absolutely sit here and claim a curative factor to stem enhance? No, but I can say we have triple-blind studies proving that it puts stem cells circulating into the bloodstream. And I'll let your listeners who are intelligent form their own conclusion. Now, I can say this. See, once I saw the science was pure, all right, and I figured, okay, the company's 2 years old. By this time, there is bound to be some conference calls that have testimonials on them. So once I saw the science was real, then, you know, I started digging. Now, these are unsanctioned by the company. There is no way a corporation who manufactures a product like this, a natural product, not making any cures, claims, can say, oh, by the way, go on this conference call. And it's run by these doctors and nurses. And I mean, I've never seen so many medical doctors involved in the distribution of a natural product as I'm hearing on this. Because what I have been hearing on these unsanctioned conference calls is people with every disease imaginable who used to have it. Doctors had given up hope on them. There was nothing we can do for you. And I'm talking heart attacks and strokes. Multiple sclerosis. I heard a story. If there is a living hell, I heard it. 42-year-old woman who had had multiple sclerosis for so bad for 10 years, she was a rag doll in a wheelchair. Legs didn't work. Arms didn't work. She was blind. She couldn't talk, but she could hear and her brain worked. Now, I'd be crying out to God every day, take me home. I don't want to live like this. And her husband, who was a very prominent medical doctor, had her on three drugs, costing him $20,000 a year to slow the progression. Now, come on. I mean, what kind of life is that? A total ragdoll existence. Well, 6 months after being on the stem enhance product, she was on the conference call with her husband. She can stand. She can't walk unassisted yet. Okay, but all the leg muscles are coming back. She has use of her arms. She can see again. She can talk again. And her husband says she's on the phone 18 hours a day calling everybody that she's ever known. I'm back. Because circulating adult stem cells will go and regenerate muscle, okay, nerve tissue, multiple sclerosis has something to do with the myelin sheath. But ALS and Alzheimer's, this big whole big long list of any disease you can think of, I have heard people saying that the greatest thing that this product did was give them hope. They also heard other people. And, you know, I know you talk to a lot of people, Stan. And I'm on the phone consulting 8 or 10 hours a day with people all over the world, about their disease states and is there any hope for them. And I can honestly say now, with the introduction of this product, I can say to somebody, I don't care what disease you've been told you have. I don't care what the doctors have said. The minimum that's going to happen to you with this product Stem Enhance is it's going to bring you a quality of life that you haven't experienced in months or years, with the very good possibility, if you stay on it at the right dose for you, you may end up not having that disease in your body anymore. And I don't care if it's cancer. Okay, the list of diseases, okay, on that list from the like National Institutes of Health and everything like that, are astounding. Just about every form of cancer, leukemia, you name it. And you know, like I said, like my friend, okay, who had cancer, and she went, and she had to go down and spend about $20,000 for extracting them out of her own bone marrow. Very painful, but she doesn't have cancer anymore.
Well, now, how expensive is this Stem Enhance?
It's about $50 a bottle, okay, and it takes 2 bottles a month, okay, to, meaning the greatest results that I've heard, okay, have been 4 capsules a day or more. Now, some people took more, like the lady, okay, who had multiple sclerosis, and her husband was spending $20,000 a year on 3 drugs that were doing nothing but keeping her alive. I believe she went on 8 a day, okay, but as compared to anything, and you know, and the company has, you know, special things if you'll go on auto ship. Okay, because what I tell people is, say, look, it, this is not a product to try. In fact, at our wellness center, right, I tell people, I'm not going to sell you a bottle. You are either going to make a commitment of watching the DVD and seeing that the science is real, because I will be the first one to admit, as a research scientist, I found it hard to believe. It sounded too good to be true that a quote-unquote nutritional product could really do these things, but the science is there, okay? And the first thing I looked at was the science of adult stem cells. You know, like the book that I mentioned to you, okay, Miracle Stem Cell, okay, Heart Repair, where this has nothing to do with natural products. This is what's going on in the established medical cartel at these top cardiovascular okay, research centers, where they are taking hearts that are basically, they're shot, and the people are going to die, okay, if they don't have like a transplant, and injecting these hearts with adult stem cells, and they're regenerating. So that's not me saying that. I mean, this is a book, and there's research all over. So all we have now is, at the same time that I found out that there's clinics all over the world, you can go on to any search engine like Google or Yahoo and just type in adult stem cell clinics. And you will get these clinics all over the world, outside the United States, of course. And these are the places the rich and famous have been going to for years to get regenerated. They just didn't tell you, okay? Or they would tell you, yeah, I'm going over to Europe to get lamb cells injected. Well, lamb, what kind of lamb cells? Adult stem cells. Because this company, StemTech, has 2 products, one for humans and one for animals. And the testimonials I've been hearing from, like, veterinarians on these conference calls, you know, my dog Fluffy, she's old and decrepit, and I was about ready to have her put down because the arthritis, or she's so sick, she has cancer, she can't jump up on the couch. And a neighbor handed me some of these tablets, you know, called Stem Enhance for Pets, and I started to give it to Fluffy, and now Fluffy's like a little puppy again. Okay, and they have it for cats, dogs, and horses. But it stands to reason, okay? Adult stem cells are in mammals, and they regenerate the body. Literally, go into tissue and regenerate it. So it's going to be very interesting to see how long before a major firestorm bruise, because you and I both know, especially with your background, okay, if you had a product that you found that was a quote-unquote natural product, and it started to cure all these diseases, you couldn't advertise it that way. You'd get shut down by the FDA, wouldn't you?
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's the most exciting breakthrough. And, I've been a research okay, scientists for a lot of years, and I've seen some pretty exciting things come along. But it's now the beginning of what I call the missing piece of the puzzle. Okay, and okay, let me bring up something here, just for some okay food for thought. Okay, have you ever read the Old Testament?
Yes, many times.
Of course, I know. And okay, and that was a leading question. So have I. And I've wondered for years. How come people in the Old Testament lived so long? Now, pre-flood, we know there was a canopy around the earth, almost like a hyperbaric oxygen chamber with liquid minerals. I'm talking post-flood, where they lived 900 years and it dropped to 800 and 700. Now, we know for a fact that more oxygen was in the environment. They had better food. They had better water. They exercised. They did not have the toxins and the man-made toxins being put into the air through chemtrails and all these other things. But that still did not explain to me how come they lived for hundreds of years. Well, hypothesis here. In God's word in Leviticus, it says the life of the flesh is in the blood. Well, where's the blood made? In the bone marrow. Could it be that instead of it at age 25 or 30, as it happens now, where the bone marrow stops dumping the most regenerative, repairing substance that God put in a human body, could it be back then, because of the better air and all the reasons I mentioned, instead of it stopping at age 25 or 30, could it be, since the life of the flesh is in the blood, that it just, that the human body back then just kept dumping these adult stem cells into the bloodstream, and at age 90 or 100, if the organ was degenerating, it would just go and whoop and repair it, and like another 100 years would go by, and, if the organ started to fall apart a little bit, oop, the adult stem cells would be sent right there. I don't know. Hypothesis. I have not had a burning bush experience with this yet, but it kind of makes sense. So,
well, we've got a fellow calling from Harlem, New York, wants to know if there are any side effects. Charles, did you have a question?
Yes, I was. First of all, thanks, Dr. Stan, for having me on. Thank you for your guest. Thank you for your good work that you do. I was curious about side effects.
What about side effects there?
Absolutely none. That was one of my first things, because as I read about the embryonic, and I kind of got under the skin of this. One of the things you're not hearing about this embryonic stem cell nonsense is 75% of the animals that they experiment with, that they inject them with embryonic, forms cancer.
So why don't you get the telephone number out there, Glenn?
Okay, it's 1-800-481-9987.
One more time.
1-800-481-9987. It's going to come with a 45-minute DVD of the chief science officer and some printed material of, some things from, PubMed and showing the, list of the diseases. And it's just, it's one of the most exciting things.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Charles, did you have anything else you wanted to ask?
Another question, you guys, I didn't catch it all. You talked a bit about embryonic stem cells, and you went in to say that they were embryonic for just a microsecond, and then they became adult stem cells. Can you explain that process a bit?
Well, that's just what happens in the human body. And on this 45-minute DVD, you will hear why they are using embryonic, because in a Petri dish, they're much easier to manipulate, where adult stem cells aren't. But in the human body, embryonic stem cells have no use whatsoever, because when the sperm meets the egg, it's embryonic for a fraction of a second, and then it becomes, through the natural process that God put in the body, an adult stem cell. So all this talk about, embryonic, and actually read one scientific report where the guy was actually honest, and he says, why you're not hearing about adult stem cells and you're hearing about the embryonic? Because all the patents, all the future patents, have already been issued, to Big Pharma and the biotech pharma, and the researchers that you're hearing about all over the world have direct financial ties to these pharmaceutical companies who already have patents, and it's all about money and power and control, where that's one of the things which made me livid. I'm seeing this list of 74 major diseases that are plaguing mankind right now, and these scientists are saying, if you can increase your own circulating stem cells, adult stem cells, it'll cure these diseases.
I think, Charles, the major thing with the embryonic stem cells, you can get these teratomas, you get these really cancers, because the cells form all sorts of things you can't control what they're going to do when they're embryonic, whereas they're adult. They seem to work ever so much better, With the embryonic, you may get into rejection because it comes from a foreign source, whereas you want to use your own stem cells, the adult, your stem cells. So embryonic is a fraud. Adult stem cells, one of the most exciting things we have available today.
Wow.
Okay?
Thank you so much, guys.
God bless. Bye-bye, and thanks for
calling.
Okay, fine. That was Charles calling from Harlem. Well, Glenn, we're just about out of time. Thank you so very much. And if you would get the information to me, I would be fascinated to see it.
You're going to love it. Okay. In fact, you know, as I said, so many doctors. Now, you know, and I've been in the natural industry just as you have for many, many, many years. Very seldom do you get medical doctors ever excited about a quote-unquote natural product, but most of them have been hearing just rumors in the industry.
Hey, we're out of time. God bless. Thanks so much, Glenn.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we've had Glenn Parnum on tonight and talking about this Stem Enhance, and I really don't know much about it. I'm certainly going to look into it, find out about it. We've done a couple of wonderful programs with Dr. Wilkie on stem cells and adult stem cells and the potential for helping people with adult stem cells is so exciting. So we're going to have to look into this product further, but certainly the cultured adult stem cells that they're using in experimentally at the present time, the results on that really startling. And if you'd be interested in getting those tape recordings we have with Dr. Wilkie, that's John Wilkie, they're either tapes or CDs, they're well worthwhile getting and listening to, and I think people need to understand at least the potential that's out there. Well, right now, of course, I need to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you agree with us and you think we have a useful purpose and the information you're getting here is worthwhile, we hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. You go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. You can listen to our radio programs live, archived MP3. You can watch our DVDs, all free of charge. You can certainly pull down our newsletters and read them and study them. But if you really believe, as I do, we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological and cultural and financial and economic battlefield, then we hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And then, of course, we hope that you'll get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, my talk on the forbidden knowledge, because this takes you into the secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years, and there really is a secret that will lead you, of course, into an understanding of what really drives the world. But certainly the secret is not something you necessarily want to try to utilize on your own. In fact, you don't want to try to utilize it on your own. You need to know it's there, and you need to avoid it like the plague. And then, of course, the four-tape or four-CD set, The Secret Behind the Secret, will introduce you to the other side, and Rhonda Byrne's concept laid out in her best-selling book, The Secret, or her DVD, The Secret, featured on Oprah Winfrey. But once again, you need to know it's there, and you need to be warned against it. And then, of course, we hope that you'll want to get our four-tape set on the supernatural, our four-tape set on satanic crimes, and it comes with a book by the same name, our four-tape set on Satanism and deliverance, our book, Diary of a Devil Hunter, or perhaps Hostage to the Devil, it's a book written by Malachi Martin. We have a four-tape set that you can get along with that if you'd like. And all of this information available from Radio Liberty. We have a great new four-tape or 4-CD set called The Bilderbergers. And you need to understand who the Bilderbergers are and what they're doing. We have a four-tape set on the Bohemian Grove, and we have a DVD on the Bohemian Grove. We have a four-tape set on the Skull and Bones Society. We have a 4-tape set on masonry. So much information you'll get from Radio Liberty you just won't get elsewhere. And our telephone number again is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, our webpage again is www.radioliberty.com. Please encourage your friends to listen to our program. Try to get them to realize that if they don't understand what's going on today, they're going to be wiped out financially. We're moving into a financial crisis, and they better understand and better begin making their preparations. Time is running out. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America.